I have it.
That boy like Madea. You know Madea?
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Dak, what the f*** I do?
It's your two favorite degenerates back with another Day One Dolphins podcast. Once again, hosted by your boy, Ouch. Follow me on Twitter at YFins, YY. Here with me is my fellow lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, Chief Sutt, a.k.a. Coach Sutt. Please throw him a follow on Twitter at Chief Sutt. Follow our podcast Twitter at Day One Dolphins to stay up to date. And I'm never going to call this app anything but Twitter. Let's get down to it. What's going on, Sutt?
You will call it Twitter because that's her name. And exactly. We won't be changing it.
They don't tell me what to do. I make the rules.
Yeah, no, they can change it to whatever letter they want. But no, there's only one X that we represent and we refer to on this podcast. And he plays cornerback.
That's a great place to start. What a game that he had. I mean, he fell down once in coverage. And I think it was Jacoby Myers that got the catch on it. And then that was the same play in which he got a pass interference called on him, which I thought was ticky-tack. But other than that, I mean, textbook tackle, which you would use to teach your kids on how to play a screenplay.
Right.
That was on Davante Adams. They're just trying to get Davante Adams the ball with this rookie quarterback any way they can. And I get it. That was really, you know, obviously that's what you want to do. But when you're limited to the ways that you can do it with your QB, it's a little bit more predictable. But man, screenplay on that side to X, he's off by like 12 yards or something. And then he sees Aiden O'Connell kind of look and cheat like before the snap and look over in this direction. Obviously they watch tape on it. X comes, starts cheating closer to the receiver. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as he sees the ball come, flies and grabs his knees, and it's just a textbook tackle. And I think there was another screen toward the other side of the ball or the other side of the field where Cater was responsible. And you already know what he does. He sniffs those out like with his instincts better than anyone else on the team. I think the screen pass,
I swear he got it from X. He's always been good at it, but he's mastered it since he's gotten to Miami, or like at least been around and in the system more. And if there's one thing that you want to try on Xavier Howard, try a deep ball with your speed guy, the fastest guy you got. But don't try any of that underneath stuff, dude. Like Prime X, Young X, whatever X era you want. That's what his game is. He wants to come up and blow that screen up and hit somebody. He's not somebody that wants to shy away from contacts. I don't even understand why they would try him with it, but not everybody knows him like we know him. So, I get it.
You saw us, instead of being in a predicament in the red zone where these crossing routes fall onto the responsibility of the linebacker, we saw a lot of these crossing routes they were trying to run to get Devontae the ball that, you know, we're running like quarters and Xavier Howard is responsible for it, or, you know, Cater's responsible for it, and they're crossing against across the field. And there's a couple of them where he's just perfect tight coverage, a little physical, but like not too physical. You know what I mean? Sometimes both of them can get a little too physical. I could see them calling a pass interference with the way that they played it.
I mean, they already do. Who even cares? Get a little physical and be a little physical, because they're going to throw flags on y'all for anything that they can anyway. Yeah. So you might as well see what you can get away with. And, you know, number one key, just make sure you get your head around so you can avoid those really, really stupid ones they try to catch you in. But for the most part, if you want to grab a little, get some hands on them. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, we'll Sauce talk about it a little bit. We'll talk about it a little later when we get to the Jets section. We're still on the Raiders here, but you already know. Yeah, we're on the same page there.
I mean, I'll give it to them. Their defense was pretty handsy, even outside of just Crosby. Like, they were slowing our receivers down here and there. They were getting pretty physical with us. And that's honestly the only thing you can really do to keep the games down with us. If you're not playing physical, we'll run past you.
I respect that teams are doing that. It reminds me of the Chargers last year. They didn't throw a single flag on the Chargers, like going overboard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I respect the physicality if it ends the way that this game did, where you don't see many flags. And if you throw an illegal pick, like a pick route, you know what I mean? Like trying to like...
You run into them.
Yeah, you illegally run into them, then you call it. If you're going to call the illegal motions or call every tiny little false start you think you see from Miami because of the elaborate choreography that we use, then you need to keep it even and call it when people are doing things that are illegal to try and disrupt that philosophy. And if they do like they did, then it's fair.
Yep.
I would say, let's talk about the Raiders game from the top here. What would you say was the worst part about that game? Watching it.
Ball security.
Yeah, I was gonna say turnovers, man. Turnovers were bad.
We know better than that. And I know the group chat was roaring the other day about how, you know, even though we've gotten this far with Tua, he's always going to have that one bad play per game. And I agree. But at the same time, I'm almost okay with it at this point because he does so much gunslinging and just trying to get away with so much crazy stuff. And he does crazy stuff all the time that I can almost appreciate him pushing it a little bit further and seeing what exactly he can get away with compared to what we've had our entire lifetimes with converted Texas A&M wide receiver Ryan Tannehill and his waste of a life on third down, smoking Jay, John Beck, AJ Feely. We don't need to do all this right now, but like all that safe, mediocre quarterback play, are you guys telling me you would go back to that because Tua has one stupid throw a game? No. So I don't care about him having one bad throw. If he gets one interception with 300 yards every game, whatever. It's the fumbles that are pissing me off lately. And it's not even lately. It feels like it's almost been a problem all season. We just haven't really wanted to acknowledge it. But now that it's coming up down the stretch, we just can't fumble the ball. It's kind of that simple. If we're going to run the ball solid, we have the second leading rusher in the NFL right now. But there's no other way to put it. It's day one fundamental football. You win the turnover battle, you're going to win the game. We got lucky. Well, I'm not going to say we got lucky. We have Jalen Ramsey. So we were smart with our roster building and we were able to grab a playmaker that can just take the ball away at any given moment. So that helped us and bailed us out. But we're not going to get away with that every single week, you know?
We might, but
hey, we might. It's worth if noting, we do, cool. I don't care.
It's worth noting a couple of things. I want to start by saying I'll go to my grave saying that Tua's wrist was down before the defender even started to make contact with the ball. Therefore, shouldn't have been a fumble. Don't care. The ball wasn't moving when his wrist hits the ground. Didn't even start. That was really ticky-tack for me, especially after calling back the Javon Holland touchdown to open the game when that looked was like a fumble as well.
That was live.
I mean, you know, there was a lot of bad ref stuff in this game, much like any other game we've ever watched. But that and then Tua's been given statistically the responsibility, or he's been charged with a lot of fumbles that were due to the center in him. So if you just go look at, you know, you're like, oh, Tua had this many turnovers, and you go look, he has like 9 fumbles. Like 5 of those are like misfires by the center. You know what I mean? So
I'm honestly not even talking about Tua. I'm talking specifically about Raheem Mostert. I didn't want to say his name like that. That's why I just said the second leading rusher in the league. But like, I just feel as if him and the rest of the running backs have just been a little bit looser with the ball than I would personally like to see, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Did Raheem fumble this time?
This past game, let me check. No, I think he did.
It was the tight end, and it who because Durham
Smythe
was
Julian,
out.
Julian Hill
comes out, and it was Tua. And I don't think the 2-1 should have counted, but whatever.
Yeah,
he could have slid, but he was trying to make a play on third down, I believe, and he got to the sticks, and then it fumbled. Or they called it a fumble. It shouldn't have been. Whatever.
Yeah, Heem's got 2 fumble loss this year.
As it pertains to the interception, you know, while we're talking about turnovers, and you say, like, you're okay with it, you know, you're okay with the way, like, what Tua does, and he's gunslinging, I couldn't agree more, and I think this has a lot to do with expectations that fans have.
Versus reality.
Yeah. And like the reality is that, excuse me being a homer, you know, this is a homer podcast for sure, but the reality is that no team has every player on the field play perfect from the beginning to the end of the game. You're trying to minimize, you're striving for perfection because it's almost unattainable and that's where you should set your goals. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be mistakes. Jerome Baker's going to miss a tackle. You know what I mean? Like, so, like one of our corners is going to get burnt for a touchdown probably. Like, these are things that happen. There's going to be a turnover every once in a while. Hopefully not as much as there were. Yeah. But when it pertains to Tua, if your offense is built and schemed around throwing the ball before the receiver even makes his move, you're going to live and die by that. Unfortunately, it's worked out way more positively than it has for us negatively, mm-hmm. but you can expect there to be some misfires, some turnovers, some missed opportunities, because that's the way this offense works.
It's not a low risk situation. They're running fast. He's throwing fast. That's a high risk, high reward offense. And yeah, bro, we love the rewards, but some people really can't handle what the risk that comes with it. And like, I'm down.
It look easy. just made it look so easy in the beginning that you guys expected that from here on out. And I get it. You know, once you see a standard set that's achievable by the team, you kind of want to hold them to that standard. I do think that is the standard. But they're humans, you know what I mean? And nobody's perfect. Like, we'll see some ups and some downs. What do you tell the kids? So never get too high, never get too low, right?
Keep it even. You can't have highs too high or lows too low. Just makes everything really complicated down the road. Because, bro, you said it perfectly. Like, if you play cornerback, corner is one of the hardest positions in sports, because there is a 100% chance you're going to get beat during the game. Even if you just get blocked a little bit, that's losing the rep. You're going to lose a rep here and there. Yeah, the rep might be smaller in some scales, and then in some scales you're giving up an 80-yard touchdown off of miscommunication, or you just fell. But
if you don't believe me, go see Patrick Surtain getting toasted by Chosen Anderson.
Dude, it doesn't even make sense half the time, but it happens. But do you see Patrick Surtain put his head down, start slamming his helmet on the sideline, looking like just a bozo? Like, bro, you got to suck it up. You got to go Ted Lasso and just be a goldfish and just get back after it.
And we saw it happen to Javon Holland and Cater. Who else was out there at safety? No, it wasn't Cater. It was the other
Deshaun
safety.
Elliott.
Yeah, it was Deshaun Elliott. And he was close. He fell. You know, it was just a little too quick. And that's one of the best receivers of our generation. I'll live with that. He's it was active. Tough to see the rookie place a ball like that. I didn't expect that, but it was, you know.
Hey, man, the other guys get paid too.
Exactly. And man, what about, before I ask you what your favorite thing about the game was, which I'm pretty sure we know what it's going to be, what about Max Crosby? Good God. Like, I already knew he was a dog, but golly, man, he is something else.
Guys like that, you know, when you watch them on film, the same way they talked about on Hard Knocks, guys, you just call them dudes or dogs or whatever term you have for them. But no matter what, it's just awesome to watch excellence like that. He is excellent, bro. And he's got his nose everywhere. He's bending all crazy to lean back and get stuff. It's just the absolute definition of high motor. He never stops.
One time we threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage on his side. He smacks it down and goes, no, no, no. We're like, all right, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay,
Sorry.
We had to see.
We're just seeing what we can get away with here. He is exceptional.
Man, he
probably deserves more of a talk of defensive player of the year, to be honest, in my opinion, because I don't think there's another pass rush specialist like Max Crosby in the league that has as many run defenses as he does. It's not even close. Like, if you look up the top pass rushers and you go check out how many run defenses that run tackles they have, he's up by like 20-30 on everybody.
So I think the only thing standing in his way is that big old guy in Cleveland, and the stat line that Cleveland defense is putting up week over week is insane. But that guy in Cleveland took someone's helmet off and tried to smash him with it on the field. So I don't think the NFL has really gone out of their way to glorify him as much, or is really looking to give him any sort of accolades. But I also don't know if they're trying to give it to Max Crosby after he was hitting the backwood during an interview.
Yeah,
so, he's the man. Now, if you wanted to give it to number 8 back there playing safety for the Dolphins, I mean, I can make a case.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have some more splash plays to get the recognition. There's a couple people I could see. Like, Christian Wilkins is having an absolute stellar year as well. If it comes down to like the chicken game that him and Chris Greer are playing, it looks like Greer lost that game.
Hey,
so.
guess which other one Greer lost? The let's just go ahead and tag Tua and see where we're at. And if we have to pay him next year, we have to pay him. Because now that's looking like a $50 million gamble, which I understand. But
I get it, but luckily we have some other players on the roster that we did not have to pay that much or pay currently that much. I'll go ahead and ask you your favorite part, what you thought was the best part of the Raiders game.
Oh, man. So if I'm going to talk about my least favorite part being the turnover battle, how can I not talk about number 5?
Yeah, big dog. That's all I kept screaming is big dog.
I don't care where he went to college. He's great. We talk about Max Crosby. You want to talk about just being able to watch excellence. I was screaming at Bar Howard, Jalen Ramsey is worth the price of admission. He is worth
the third
every
round
penny.
Pick and Hunter Long. Yeah, I'd say so.
Dude, like, what are we talking about? That guy is still the best cornerback in football. I was talking to Colby. Shout out to Colby and the Pro Football Pod Gang. And the thing with Jalen Ramsey right now, and he's jumping all these plays and just people are really seeing his range. He's been in the NFC for so long that a lot of these quarterbacks don't really know what he's like. It's similar to the Baltimore effect with how Lamar has, like, he's never lost to the NFC. And it's because when he plays the NFC, they probably don't really think he's as fast
as
he is.
He's never lost to an NFC team?
I believe he's never lost, or he has one loss ever versus NFC teams. And every every time they try to talk to him about it, he's like, hey, don't put that in my head. I don't care. I play a game on Sunday and I win. And I don't care if it's AFC, NFC, UFC, whoever it is. I got
to
go.
UFC. I'd love to see Lamar in UFC.
He would kill it. He would do amazing in anything he does because he is Truz. But either way, it's that same effect that, like, in the NFC, they don't play him every week or every month or every year. So they don't really understand how good he is. And for the AFC right now, a lot of them really don't know how good Jalen Ramsey is, us included. Well, that first one, I was like, okay, cool. I've seen him do that before. That is just perfect textbook cornerback play. That's about as good as it will ever get. And then that second one, for him to get that full of an extension and to fully commit and to jump from where he jumped and to time it the way
knee,
he jumped.
The meniscus?
How many guys ever can make that play, let alone active?
Just think we played a half a season of football without that guy.
And
he's
tied for what? There's like a three-way tie or four-way tie for fourth of the league interceptions.
That's crazy.
At three. The leading guy is that kid from Dallas that's returned 4 for a touchdown. And then there's a couple people with 5, one or two people with 4, and then a bunch of people with 3. And one of those is Ramsey in, what, 3 games?
Yeah, I mean, he's as advertised. We said that in the New England game. I think it's worth noting that if you look at the way that the defense and offense of our team have been built, you know, we put way more money into the defense than we have the offense. So it kind of makes sense for the defense to be doing a little bit of the heavy lifting when we dumped all of our money in free agency into the defense. You know, we spend way more on the defense than we do on the offense. And it's good to see them finally doing that. But I think that's a good perspective to have while watching this team. Adjust your expectations of what side of the ball is supposed to be stronger. And it's supposed to be a Super Bowl caliber defense, which, thank God, they finally are starting to look like a Super Bowl caliber defense.
Well,
unfortunately, they got healthy, but unfortunately it's coming around a time where we're hitting some offensive woes here. I think that the beginning of the season seems like we took, you know, a lot of teams early on by storm, not really expecting to see what they saw on the field and taking advantage of that early. Now people know what to look for when they play Miami, and it's a little bit harder. It's definitely been a little bit harder, hopefully.
Well, you got that, but at the same time, at the beginning of the season, we did have to shuffle around the O-line a little bit. We had our random Teron injuries. Waddle went in and out of a couple of games here and there and had his concussion. But for the most part, offense was healthy up until A-Train gets hurt, and then Rob Hunt gets hurt, and now we've really, really been cycling in offensive linemen, and then the receivers started getting banged up, and I feel like the offense and the defense almost traded injury problems. At the beginning of the season, defense was all banged up. We had to go without Brandon Jones. We had to go without Elliott for a game. And it was just really key injuries and bad spots. And I think offensively, I think our woes are coming from our key injuries and key spots. We do not want Liam Eikenberg out there. Yeah. We need Bob Hunt.
We need him. We need Rob Jones. We need all of them. Isaiah Wynn. We need like all of them guys. But
yeah, think about that. We went from all of them to randomly having to throw in Kendall Lamb a little bit, and we thought that was funny. And then we had to randomly throw in Lester Cotton, and we thought that was funny. Yeah, and they're both playing great. Now we're back to throwing them in and Liam, and they're starting them consistently, and then we're mad about being behind the sticks. I mean, we're running practice squad, low-talent guys, and just making it work to the best of our ability. So,
you want to know a fun stat to bounce off what you just said? The Miami Dolphins have only played one game with their official expected starting line, everyone healthy. And it was the game versus the Denver Broncos with 350 rushing yards. And so,
would you look at that? It almost seems like I know what the heck is going on out here. Huh?
Strange. That's spooky.
Doctor Strange, if you will.
But yeah, I want to the Raiders game just to finish off. The pass rush was amazing. Jalen Phillips is there. Bradley Chubb's playing out of his mind.
The second favorite is them. And I would say the two of us were really adamant in the preseason episodes and the early season episodes that our defense was going to go as those two go. And as they've picked it up the last couple of weeks, you're seeing the championship caliber defense. And they kind of showed us all the signs early on with how almost like bro-y they've been through camp and everything else. They've been right on each other and doing everything with each other. When you see pictures and videos from the facility or on the field or anything, they are literally side by side nonstop. And now you're seeing like almost the results of that. Like,
and how many weeks did I come on here and say that, hey, they're taking a while to adjust to this new scheme. Give it some time. You'll see them adjust. You'll see the players get comfortable in it. You'll see Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, become more comfortable with his players and know what to do with them. Where, I don't know if you noticed, but they had they didn't play David Long almost at all. You have the snap counts up in front of you, right? Well, how many snaps did David Long play, the middle linebacker?
28 out of 28. A possible 61. 80
or 61?
Guess who ran the full 61? It's literally the same every week. Jerome. Xavier Howard.
Which is where Jerome Baker's value comes from, is that he always plays all the snaps. He's never injured.
Keep
that in mind.
This is also why I love Vic Fangio, because he runs the defense now. Early on, he was making me nervous, and you were right. I was panicking a little bit, but the way he runs it now that he understands his personnel and he knows what his guys can do, Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Howard, Deshaun Elliott, Javon Holland, Jerome Baker. Not one of them took a playoff. That is exactly how it should look.
And all of those guys, Wilkins barely had any plays. I think he had 11 plays off or something.
He had 3 plays off. And then Sealer and Jalen Phillips had 4 less plays than him at 54 each. And then Chubb at 52, Cater at 45, Van Ginkle at 42. So those were like your core guys. And then David Long, 28. Raekwon Davis, 21. Slight rotational. With Ogba getting 7 and Deshaun Hand getting 3. So even though we were complaining about not having much D-line depth, we're getting away with consistently just rotating Wilkins, Sealer, Phillips, Chubb, Van Ginkle, and just putting them in at weird places and having Raekwon in for, you know, the situations where it makes the most sense to have him in there.
Part of me is like, yo, maybe don't play Christian Wilkins that many snaps because of his position. And that's not really normal to do. And then the other part of me is like, well, I just watched Hard Knocks and he ran straight into the locker room and started dancing in like the most cardio demanding fashion after the game was over, after he played all the snaps.
Weak.
Yeah.
And let's not forget to mention, every time any offensive player scores, please, everyone, if you think we're playing, go watch any Kevin Harlan highlight reel, Tyreek Hill, the first person down there celebrating every time is Christian Wilkins, as if he doesn't have to be out there for field goal, as if he's not out there on defense nonstop, and he still sprints down the sideline to the end zone to
he's
celebrate
the one that
every single
tackled
time.
Hunter Renfro. Yeah. You know, everyone's, I want to talk about that too. Everyone's giving Jerome Baker a hard time on that. If you watch the playback, it does look like poor effort, but I think he's trying to punch the ball out. I think he sees two fellow defenders coming in front of Renfro. He doesn't expect him to hurdle him like a track star. That was amazing. That was an awesome play by Hunter Renfro. I was
and
like,
that's not usually in his bag. No one's expecting Renfro to do that.
I didn't expect it, but I mean, I respect him. And I thought that was an awesome play. Good for him. I'm glad it happened in a game where we won. But Jerome cocks his arm back and he's about to try and punch the ball out as a defender falls and then he gets hurdled over. And then, you know, things just don't play out the way Jerome obviously thought that it was going to. But he was trying to, you know, Renfro's off balance. This is the time where you peanut punch the ball out. Everybody would have their whole entire tune changed if he would have punched it out while they were getting close to the red zone right there. So I don't really fault him for it. He was still graded like our third highest player by PFF. He's still great in the run fit. He's one of our best blitzers. He's being asked to do a lot. You know what I mean? He doesn't come off the field. Do I think that Jerome Baker is one of the weaker links on the defense? Yes. But that's really because of how good everyone else is and how that personnel looks across the defensive side of the ball. It's stellar. Player to player, across the board, one of the better rosters on that side of the ball in football. So if Jerome Baker is your weak link, I'd say that I'd be pretty grateful about that. That, you know what I mean? Like, that's the best way I could put it.
Weak link is just such a strong term for him. Because, like, he's not weak link. He's just...
Well, just comparatively, like, you know what I mean? It's not...
I know
like,
what you mean. It's just funny.
He's been one of the best players on this same defense before when there was a... You know, when the defense had a bunch of other players on it. But
did
now...
On that same note, did you catch what Coach McDaniel said to Xavien Howard during Hard Knocks when they were, like, running around?
Yeah, he's talking about how everyone's putting in 100% effort because they're watching the way that he plays.
He said, this has got to be cool for you. And, like... I'm pretty sure he's saying that because he knows how long X has been there and how many bad teams X has been a part of.
Yeah.
And now he has actual talent, all pros, for not just all pros, first team all pros, Super Bowl champions, like actual heavy hitters around to support. So for him and Jerome, people are going to point to them first as the weak links. Cool. That's more than okay. That's because we're tap heavy.
Once upon a time, X was the one holding everything together, and now he gets to watch other people do so. You know, it's got to feel like, great to play across from Jalen Ramsey, that he's always been a fan.
Yep,
Ramsey's always been a fan of Xavien Howard too. Like I say, all the time, other corners watch tape on other corners, and Xavien Howard is a very popular cornerback that people watch tape on because it's not his explosiveness that makes him good; it's his technique, discipline, and fundamental knowledge of the game. That's what makes Xavien Howard good.
He's an absolute master.
That's really all I want to talk about for the Raiders game.
Good effort though, boys. I'll give it to you. We knew, we talked on the preview, me and you talked before, it was never going to be some blowout game. I think it was like a 13.5 point spread. That was a setup for anybody that doesn't actually watch and just assumed we were going to come out and just blow them out.
And like, if you gamble, you know, I told everybody in my other group chat, my fantasy group chat, because there's a lot of Raiders fans in there. I said I would take plus 14 by the Raiders. That's an insane spread to give somebody. So
yeah, you're going to give us two touchdowns. Oof. But yeah, good effort, boys. Rookie quarterback, interim head coach, all that other stuff you guys got going on. It's a pretty talented roster, and they fought.
I'm rooting for them now. Now that they're out of the way, I don't care. I like what they got going on. I'm a fan. I want to root for them. We talked about the players that we love on the team. Don't respect whoever number 11 is that ripped the ball out of Ramsey's hand after he was obviously hurt in the end zone with a pick when you know that it was already intercepted and then he didn't give it back. But I'm glad that Van Ginkle shoved him and was talking trash to him. And one last thing. Andrew Van Ginkle was kind of like a spy. a lot of snaps.
Hey man, are they listening?
Blitz. Yeah, they probably are. Vic was sending him on this fake blitz. Then he backs out, and he almost had an interception. But he's playing the pass game very, very well. And I think because of the personnel the Raiders were using, and because of what they anticipated the Raiders wanted to do in the passing game, that's why we saw David Long play so little and Andrew Van Ginkel play so much more. Yep. It very interesting to see the change in. Like I said, Vic Fangio's getting used to the personnel he has available, and he's figuring out the best ways to use them. And we go from one game where we have David Long play 99% of the snaps, and then boom, he plays 28 snaps. You know, so there is no
and
solidified way that they're going to use everybody. It's changing week to week depending on who we play.
Let me ask you to transition to the next one. What percentage? Do you think he's closer to the 99% or this 28 out of 61% snap share when he plays the Jets, David Long? Oh, which one is he closer to on Thursday?
He's gonna be a 99. He's gonna be 99%.
He's not coming out. You are not coming off the field, big dog.
Breece Hall is gonna have a day with him. Good luck, Necrol Baker and David Long Jr.
Right up the middle, baby.
All that little screen play, those little inside runs, all that. Good luck. You know, it's going to be a bunch of trick plays. So this is perfect way to transition into the Jets game here.
To the Tim Doyle showcase.
Yeah, man. He's basically never thrown for like more than 5 touchdowns at any team he's ever played on.
Do you know realistically why they're starting him right now? If you want
to tank.
Dude, part of it's that. Part of it is Zach Wilson is already so mentally broken. He was mentally broken going into this season. He even said it in Hard Knocks, essentially, that he needed to just sit back and not be the starter for a bit. And it's nice having Aaron so he can sit back and just learn and not be the starter. And then he was instantly thrown back into being the starter. So, like, the kid is cooked.
Let me take my Homer hat off real quick and just play devil's advocate right here. All right. Do I think Zach Wilson is good? No. First off, let me just start by saying that.
We'll open up with that.
There's nothing misconstrued about this. But Zach Wilson took barely backup reps. The whole team's gassed up. The whole identity of this team is that Aaron Rodgers is coming to save them.
Yep.
Everything about it. You know what I mean? That's what everyone's going on about. Hard Knocks, the whole locker room. The whole city, they got billboards out there, people taking ayahuasca for the first time because he's bringing in, not, you know, all this controversial stuff.
Yeah,
whatever. Zach Wilson's not expected to start. Like you said, he feels good about it. He learns a playbook that's designed for Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? That's what he's been studying the whole offseason.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt immediately. Probably at the least expected point that you could ever guess that Aaron Rodgers would get hurt, like the third play of the game. He gets hurt and Zach Wilson has to come in. Now, almost immediately, Zach Wilson has the playbook he's been studying thrown out the window. And now he has to run what they want to do to make him comfortable, which is a bunch of elementary bullshit.
Baby offense.
You know what I mean? Like the most predictable, terrible offense that you could ever run.
Yep.
And I'm not saying Zach Wilson is good. All I'm saying is the situation that he's in and the situation the Jets are in and the way that the Jets are going about it, nobody's able to succeed with that. Like,
you
it's
can't.
All their
eggs are in the Aaron basket.
Yeah. Zach Wilson is getting his least fair of a shot since he's been there this year. And that's unfortunate for him. But I do think he's terrible still.
He is, hey man, I thank my lucky stars every day that they took him over Justin Fields in that draft. Because I don't care what's going on, at least we don't have to guard up against two guys at quarterback that are running 4 fives, you know, times a week or four times a season.
Should be running more. He is a fantastic.
He's very athletic.
They're fantastic when he's running the ball.
And with a cannon.
If he was confident, like he was in college, where he knew he was like the best dude on the field kind of thing, you know,
honestly, in the preseason, he looked really good.
He needs confidence. He probably needs a fresh start and he needs somebody who wants to use his legs. Look at how many times Jalen Hurts is planned to run the ball. I just gambled on it the other day. The over under on rushing attempts for Jalen Hurts was 8.5. He ended with 12 versus the Chiefs.
Makes sense.
there's schemed ones, there's ones where he has the freedom to do it, and then there's a bunch of RPOs and screens that are mixed in to help out with that threat of a run game. Their offensive line is terrible, but that's the way I envision a Zach Wilson offense if he's going to succeed, personally.
You might have just said where he's going to head this offseason. I could 1,000% see Philly throwing back a little up. Flyer to just have him back up Hurts. You know what I mean?
I
hey, man,
see that.
They
I
were kicking the crap
Atlanta.
Out of you down there. We can do some stuff with you. You know what I mean?
He could go to the Falcons, probably.
Now, like you were saying, I think the biggest one of the biggest things is their eggs were so deep in that Rodgers basket that instead of boosting the offensive line a little bit more like they probably should have, they spent that money on Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, who essentially have zero to do with Zach Wilson. Nothing to do. Yeah. He's never played with them. He doesn't know these guys. They're older than him. Like he's a Garrett Wilson guy. He's with these other dudes. So
I mean,
like
Garrett Wilson is woof. He's open. Let me just say that. And it's almost
there.
Like he's so good. And he was so good before he got drafted to the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're good and you go to a team and you're like Justin Jefferson, whatever. You eat and then you got to learn how to keep eating. You're good and you're open, but now you got to learn how to take it to the next level. The way that Garrett Wilson's been forced to like figure out how to be better is because he's like, yo, I have to be so blatantly wide open so fast to get a chance to get a ball from this awful quarterback that's what's, I feel like, man, I feel like once he gets a real quarterback or even worse, if he goes to another team or you're going to see like a day and night change for that guy. He is
worse
all the time.
I'd love for him to go to another team. I mean, I don't fear him as much, especially this year with the way our secondary is playing, but I mean, he's awesome. If I don't have to play him, I wouldn't want to. I'd rather the Jets just blow the whole thing up and start from scratch. Just tank the next 3-4 years and do what New England and the Bills should do too, since all those franchises are poverty franchises that stand no chance unless they truly rebuild from the top and figure out how to beat us.
Well, if you did think that the Jets would have a chance this game, what do you think that they would need to do on defense to compete truly against the Dolphins on Friday?
Defensively, they're already not that bad. They allow like the fourth lowest passing yards, but they give up the sixth most rushing yards. So I think it's pretty straightforward for them to win. They actually stopped the run for once. I don't want to ask Tua to sit back and throw it 40 times on this defense. That just sounds like a headache.
They will, though. We don't want him to, but he will.
Yeah, and honestly, if Tua hangs 500 on him in a dub, that would be beautiful. That's a beautiful, beautiful Black Friday. But at the same time, I was harping on it on the preview episode with the Raiders. Like, pretty much every game but one where we've ran for more than 20 rushing attempts, we've won. And this Vegas game, we rushed 28 times. We only averaged 3.9 a carry. And I think if our turnover margin would have been a little bit better, we might have had a higher yards per carry and even more rushes. But I think the name of the game, again, is to just run the ducking haul, throw it up if we have to. And I think I'm hoping that McDaniel doesn't come out and get cute like we've talked about before, like he likes to, and just try to catch everybody off guard and just throw all over the Jets because no one's ever done that. Like, nah, man, run the ball on them. If you want to just make it really annoying of a day, let's just go out here and throw the ball a bunch and be sloppy and, you know, let Tua throw one or two more interceptions. And then we find ourselves having to stop Breece Hall 35 times a game. Like, bro,
and
come on.
I can see it being ugly for sure.
It could get ugly. It could be a really ugly 7-10 just slobber knocker, you know?
I think it's going to be a more exaggerated version of this Raiders game. That's what it's going to look like.
Like less points?
Yeah, I just think that their offense is even more inept than the Raiders' offense is currently.
Yeah, you won't get those, that one big play. You won't get that one big play that they got away with, essentially.
Probably not, you know. And then I just think that if our offense does struggle versus the Jets because their defense is even better than the Raiders, which I was high on the Raiders' defense coming in. They're not as bad as you'd think they are. And that was them missing a couple players that got hurt during the game. Some of my favorite players on their defense. The safety that went out, Epps, love watching him. So,
yeah,
you know, that was with some people missing, and they still played a good, solid defense.
They're solid,
but I think the Jets will be like that. It's going to be like they're going to make us struggle to score, But at the end of the day, their offense is going to be so inept that even if it's ugly, you're still going to have the confidence that you walk away with a win.
Right.
I did watch a little film. I watched the way that the Bills and Jets played each other. The whole first half of the game, the Jets did not allow them to run outside. No jet sweeps, no outside zones. Their linebackers are very fast. And coached by Robert Saleh, who's used to coaching very fast and very great linebackers, i.e. Fred Warner in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So early on in the game, they're not having any of that. And that's versus teams that don't even solely run outside as much as Miami does. So hopefully they watch film on that and they don't try any of that, at least early in the game. The Bills did succeed with some of these in-breaking routes that you see Tyreek run constantly. Right. So I'm hoping that there's some room for us to eat that way. The safeties are probably going to play a little closer against Miami than they have been. I assume that's what they're going to try and coach them to do for this matchup. But you do what we've discussed in the past, and they do that, and they make a play on the ball, and then boom, you beat them over the top, and you scare them into playing a little bit further back, and then you go back to what's working underneath.
Yep.
Eat them up. You didn't see them. You basically saw the Jets defense play like almost exclusively quarters. And then their pass rush, they're sending five guys at you. And they do get home. But towards the second half of the game, yeah, they get home and they're scary, man. And
Quinnen Williams leads that front. And like when I say he leads them, you'll see certain plays where he's double triple teamed and he still just pushes that line so far up into the quarterback's lap that when they go to take one step the other way, somebody's already there and the play's over.
He's a pressure guy.
He literally just carries them straight to the quarterback. And it's like, man, there's really only so much you can do about guys like that. You know, he's not like an Aaron Donald style where he's just going to split that double real quick and he's going to personally take the quarterback out. Some plays he's going to do that. But for the most part, he's just taking two, three guys for a ride right to the quarterback and just making the whole play just not work straight up.
So I think two ways you could go about trying to defeat this defense. If you really want to try the linebackers, I think you start passing short left, short right, short left, short right, and gas them out. And then start running up the middle. Run it straight at Quinnen Williams. Run it straight at one of the pass rushers who's seeing success. And try to gas them. If not, take what you can get with their early defense, which are probably going to run a lot of quarters, like I saw for them versus the Bills for the majority of the game, which did give Josh Allen a fit. You know, he did not have an easy time against them. He threw a bunch of interceptions. Mm-hmm. But the second half of the game, after they started getting James Cook going, the Jets played a ton of single high. And then if they do that versus us, it's over. If you start seeing that mixing in with the play action that Miami wants to run, you know, have them guessing as to whether the ball is going to get really handed off or not, then I could see us start chugging along. I will say that Devon Achane, I don't think is going to play.
Don't even put him on that MetLife field. Just save him for the rest of the game.
I guess. I don't know, man. This has been something that we've talked about all season, and it's the first time that we've seen the front office and the coaching staff approach their personnel decisions like this. They're being very careful, and it's probably the first time we've seen it happen like this because this is the first time that anyone's been so sure we're going to go to the playoffs, and they want to make a postseason run. So they don't want to see Devon Achane go off for 300 yards on Black Friday versus the Jets on a short week after he just got back from IR and just re-injured the same knee.
They'd rather win without him playing.
They want to see him go for 300 versus the Niners or the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That's what they want to see.
He'd rather have him have a Raheem Mostert-style playoff run.
That's the other thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
Is that you're playing you're playing coy, and now Savon Ahmed is now out for the year. Chris Brooks is still on IR. So the only running backs you have on your roster are now Raheem Mostert, who just got a full workload of 20-plus carries, 26 carries, I think, last game versus the Raiders.
Yeah.
And he handled it, and he looked great again.
He's still him.
And then you have Jeff Wilson and Devon Achane, who's probably not going to play. So this is looking like it's going to be a Jeff and Raheem classic game again.
Classic. Just like the old days.
I feel it's almost disrespectful to Raheem to try and like make sure other running backs aren't getting hurt and they're healthy while you have Raheem literally balling, running the ball 25 times a game. Well, like, what about Raheem? You want him for the playoffs?
Devil's advocate. This is probably the healthiest he's been through a season. And there's still been times where they kind of switched it up and spelled him in situations where it felt like you didn't really need to. They've definitely been giving him breaks and they've definitely been cutting him back and he is getting full workloads. But at the same time, I see some guys get 30, 35 carries multiple weeks in a row. If you want to go back to the Ricky days, I know we don't really play that style of game no more. But like, Heem can handle that. We've seen Heem take 30 carries. We've seen him do it in the playoffs.
I think those guys have better offensive lines, usually. And I think that those running backs also usually get injured, in my opinion.
And, I mean, what's been the big knock on Raheem his whole career? Yeah, he's amazing, but he always gets hurt. This is still the healthiest he's been. And, like, if he says knock he's good wood. And he's still fresh, hey.
Knock on wood. Here.
But I'm saying the healthiest he's been. He still had an injury designation going into the game last week, and I'm pretty sure he had one going into the game the week before. It just wasn't anything too crazy. It wasn't like a multiple week thing, you know? Like,
I'm wondering how they're going to split it this week. You don't know what you're getting out of Jeff Wilson, at least this season, because he looked like he got dropped down to the third or fourth string, like after he came back. You know, I expected him to kind of jump Devon Achane perfectly. Personally, I thought that might be what happens just because of the seniority and because he really did show that he could deliver. It's not like he's some kind of scrub. Like, he balled out last year when he got the touches too. So he knows the scheme. He's also like the most power of the backs that we have, I would say, aside from, you know, we're a little undecided on Chris Brooks. But, you know, Jeff likes contact. He wants to run through you. He doesn't quite have the same vision as the rest of the guys, but he is a handful when it comes to making contact with the defender. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I just want to make sure that Raheem is healthy for the long run, but I do expect for him to get probably 18 carries versus the Jets.
And what do we give Hefe? 15?
Yeah, probably 12, something like that. Let's say Jeff Wilson gets 10, 12. Raheem gets 16, 18, depending on how the game goes. I would start Jeff Wilson in fantasy, though, depending on your team. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm thinking about smashing a bunch of daily fantasy with him.
I'm going to put in an anytime touchdown score for him because I know the odds are going to be so low. Like, you'll probably put $5 and win $100 or something.
But at the same time, the last time I did that, like the first game that he was back, I got screwed.
I didn't start him. I left him on the bench for that game.
I did a bunch of DraftKings and stuff, and I was like, oh, he's so cheap, so I can just throw him into a bunch of lineups and then just stack the rest of it around him, and it didn't work.
It did not. And no. I was more hesitant that time than I am this time just because before Chris Brooks wasn't on IR, right? Or no, right. He was. And Devon was, Savon Ahmed, sorry, was healthy. So there was three of them. It's two. It's just Raheem and Jeff this week, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I could see McDaniel being cheesy and throwing Devon Achane back in there and, you know, he's playing coy about his availability and stuff, but like we just discussed, I think it's more important for the long haul and what he wants to use him for later on.
Yeah. I mean, we're how many weeks out, you know what I mean?
Well, on Hard Knocks, you saw, he circled, he's like, there's only 24 more practices and whatever. He's like, you got to give it your all. So we really are coming down the end of the stretch here. And if I look at the predictions we did preseason, this first Jets game, we both have the Dolphins winning. Preseason, before we knew it would be Tim Boyle, I had it 20-28 Miami. You had it 10-24 Miami. I'm thinking 10-24 is looking pretty good right now for your.
Hey man, hey, I don't want to get horny about it. You know what I mean? Just catch the dub, but.
Yeah, that's where we're at now. we're no longer at.
Who cares? Who cares? Like, oh, I hit it nice, man. So we got a home playoff game, right? Because that is the only thing on my mind at this point. Yeah. I need it. And who was it against? Because if it is against Cleveland, fine.
But at home, in Miami versus Cleveland, I'll take it. For you know what I mean? Dorian Thompson coming to town, I'll take it.
See, it's not even, it's not, that defense is nuts.
It is nuts, but.
But why would I want to play them when I could play Pittsburgh? Or Houston?
Either or. Nah, I'm more scared of Houston than anybody. Their defense is solid too. Sneaky.
Yeah, and but we could catch CJ.
Offense.
We could catch that offense though.
Maybe, but it won't be as easy as the Browns offense, I'll tell you that.
I see, and that's the thing. The Browns offense is going to be way harder to almost predict.
No Nick Chubb.
Jerome Ford solid. You have a solid offensive line.
Kareem Hunt and Jerome Ford, and then we just play the run. What is Dorian Thompson going to do? Pass the ball for four quarters? There's no way.
Did you just watch how they just won? They didn't ask him to pass the ball that much. He barely passed the ball. He was out there screaming and freaking out, and their defense is literally that crazy.
Yeah, but their defense ain't stopping our offense like for four quarters the way that it does. The Steelers' offense is abysmal. They just fired their offensive coordinator.
But that's what I fear. I fear that if there is a defense that could run it up with us, it's that. But again, we can save this for the playoff previews because
we might lose the next seven in a row. We don't know what's going to happen. Let's just let's
straight
just,
up.
Know.
But I think score prediction wise,
it happened last year. That's all I'm going to say, bro.
We were feeling real good. So,
things were looking good last year, and they just fell apart. So
that's why I'm saying if we win 2-0 on Friday, I'm with that. I don't give a
No, not at all. I don't care at all. I just want the win. I know this is going to be a nasty game. I know that this game is going to be an ugly game. We're coming off this game and the Raiders game that we thought was ugly. The Jets play us tough. They do not like us.
And I don't like them, and I don't like MetLife Stadium. So I just want our boys to get in, get out, stay healthy, catch a dub, and let's get a long rest week before, who is it? The Manders?
Yeah, this the Commanders, which you have us
losing to. The trap.
Yep. That's not a bad trap game now, like as things have played out, because my trap game was the Titans game that I had us losing, and that doesn't look realistic anymore. But I can see us losing to Washington for sure.
Will Levis.
That'll sum up the old Jets talk for us.
Yeah.
But we can end it on some Hard Knocks. Anything that stood out that you really liked about the Hard Knocks episode?
So there's this DJ dude, shout out to DJ Lughead, and
DJ Lug.
When he found out I was a Dolphins fan, he's like, "Oh yeah, you like the Dolphins? My buddy's the linebackers coach." And I was like,
Campanelli?
He's like, "Yeah, that was my quarterback. This guy's the most Italian dude you'll ever meet in your life. Whole family, super Italian." And then when I saw that guy going up there, reading the Vince Lombardi quote, "The only thing that's universal is an ass kicking."
Yeah, he's like, they speak, nobody, you know, I speak the same language. Everybody speaks ass whooping.
This is why our coach can get away with what he gets away with. He can walk around hitting the dab pen and not really answering people's questions and just being clearly high all the time and not what a quote unquote prototypical coach is supposed to look like because he's got guys on the staff that look and sound like that.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm smoking too while I'm watching this, and like, I can only listen to McDaniel talk for so long, bro. I'm just like, spit it out, bro.
I wish
spit
it never
it
ends.
Out. Everything's got to be some sort of philosophy-filled, just absolute...
He's trolling, bro. He's literally trolling. When they asked that cake question, and he was like, "Oh, that's funny, because like that's something that came from somebody else." But again, brother, it took him 10 minutes, and he never answered the question. So I think he just does that at situations where he just doesn't feel like answering it, and it's an opportunity to mess with somebody. But you see him talk to the players, and you see how quick and like how just on point it is, and how he's just so positive, bro.
Yeah. He doesn't do that with them, but
yeah, it's to the media because the media sucks and it's fake.
Yeah, I think Anthony Campanelli or Campanelli, however you say his name, obviously he in the beginning I was like, all right, where's he going with this? And then, then my girlfriend's looking at it too. She's like, oh, who's this guy? And it's a little, you know, it's a little like how you say it. If you imagine if you're, you know, you're not into that kind of stuff, you're looking at that like some toxic.
Look at this douchebag.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then he starts bringing it home. And I'm like, I'm ready to run through a wall. And she's like, yeah. She's like hyped up too. So
yeah, anything you need, coach. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll take a cake too.
It's pretty cool. It's cool watching the chemistry between everybody. It's hilarious watching Tyreek Hill take an interview and see Waddle in the background smiling. Bro. Funny watching other guys get a sack and get a cake and just give it to X because they don't want the cake.
Who are you most excited for them to highlight out of the people they didn't really highlight yet?
Well, you have to agree to it. So the only people that will be interviewed and highlighted like that had to really agree to it. I know there's some players that didn't.
You think Ramsey did? Because his face made it look like he didn't.
I know Javon Holland absolutely does not. I know Xavier Howard absolutely does not. For those two, I know that for sure.
What about Waddle?
He probably will. I think he likes talking to the media. Christian Wilkins likes talking to the media. Tua, I don't think Tua likes talking to the media, but I think he's just so used to it. Being
he knows he has
in
to.
In the position that he's in, that he's done it his whole life. He's done Fox interviews. He did a Alabama documentary. You know,
that was amazing.
It was good. And we should bring that back up more often, the prophecy. All right?
Bro, his grandfather told everybody. Tua will be the one to carry the Tagovailoa name.
And everyone's got his name. And you know what? In a weird way, the argument about him and the discrepancy over whether he's good or not is everyone knowing his name.
They know. But we're getting there. It needs to be to the point that he gets like a big commercial. Or honestly, I'm thinking the Hard Knock stuff is really going to get him there because people are going to see how just... He is dangerous. He is an assassin, and he will drop a 60-yard bomb on your head. But he also really cares about Secret Santa and is highly skilled in the ukulele. Like,
oh boy.
He's just his own human. And for dudes like that, when you got Xavier Howard and Raekwon Davis and all these big street, just almost thuggish dudes, and they're rolling with this little Hawaiian dude that's like kind of geeky, but also like really about that life. And like they say, he's not afraid of nothing. Like, bro, it's kind of what the team needs after all the weird stuff that's happened for us over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the way that the players were interacting with him after the Raiders game. Like,
everyone loves him, bro.
What's his name? Who's on the Raiders? Marcus Peters? Yeah.
Yeah.
How does he know Marcus Peters like that?
I don't know. I know Baltimore, they definitely met there a couple times.
I guess so. I mean, I don't know how they were as close as they were. He came up to him. He's like, hey, man, don't listen to what they're saying. You already know you're balling or something like that. Like, the players see it too. You know what I mean?
Probably the same agency. Because I think, I know Drew Rosenhaus has most of the Dolphins, but he doesn't have Tua. Tua has like Lee Steinberg and somebody else. So maybe Peters is signed with them. Or again, everybody loves Tyreek Hill. Everybody loves Jalen Ramsey. So all these dudes hang out with them. And obviously, over the last 2 years, I'm thinking Tyreek Hill is just kind of taking Tua everywhere with him and being like, hey, man, nah, this dude cool. This dude, I'm telling y'all, Tua, man, Tua cool. Let's go golfing with him. Come on. Like, whatever.
Tyreek's mom is hilarious.
Tyreek's mom is exactly what Tyreek's mom is supposed to be like.
Absolutely hilarious. Exactly what I thought she'd be like.
She's straight out of Fort Pierce, dog.
For sure. 100%.
Because you hear, I will say too, usually when you hear Tyreek and he's on, like, he's got his podcast voice on and stuff, it's almost like more corny. But when he was sitting there talking with his wife,
yeah,
and he was talking about how he had to start to learn to leave work at home and everything, mm-hmm. That was real Tyreek, and that was kind of dope to see. That was not
that
fake.
Was like, yo, nah, you need to be thinking about football 100% of the time like you were before. Save all that love stuff for after the season ends.
But
right?
The numbers, dog, the numbers. And then he comes into that game. I'm the best in the world. I'm the best in the world. Like, he was so excited on that one. He didn't know how he scored that fast. That's why he started running all sideways. He didn't even know how to celebrate.
Yeah. I do love that, man. But
I love him. Fastest 10 in South Florida since me.
Since you, what'd you run? What did you run in your prime? At fullback?
Forever?
4.99?
I barely even ran under a 5.1, bro. I was slow. But I could block. I knew all the plays. I had consistent hands. When all the other guys came into the huddle and they didn't really know where to line up, I could kind of handle that for the quarterback. And I also made sure to hit my block. So it was like having an assistant coach out there.
And they go, all right, just run at the quarterback as fast as you can. All right.
See, nah, I was at receiver, and a lot of the times our backs, they would just look at me after Dylan called the play and just kind of throw their hands up. And I'd have to tell them what they had.
think you cut out there for a second.
Yeah, you got me back?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like people trying to FaceTime me right now and stuff. I forgot this is linked to my computer, but yeah.
You're a popular guy.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Turkey Day, man. Happy Turkey Day to all the listeners. Hope everybody has a good time with their family. Hope everybody gets to enjoy some solid games for tomorrow with the food in the table. Have a couple drinks, you know what I'm saying? I think we got, what, Niners? Ooh, I don't even remember. We got 49ers, Seahawks. Okay. Well, I'll give it to you in order. You need to wake up at 9:30 if you're over here on my side. But your side, first game of the day, is going to be Packers-Lions classic Thanksgiving game, right?
Let's get it, Dan Campbell. Let's bite somebody's knees off.
We already know the Lions are going to win that game. So if you want, let me give you a couple bets real quick. Lions win that game. Take the over on David Montgomery's rushing yards. That's my bet for that one, right?
Right.
Washington versus Cowboys. Oof. The spread is 13.5 for Washington. I would take the spread for Washington. I think they'll make it closer. You look how close they made it versus Philly both times. Also, super weird. Jalen Hurts threw for the exact same amount of passing yards both times to the yard.
Weird.
Both times he played the Commanders.
And the then Commanders Niners, are a Seahawks. Highly talented, very well coached team, bro. I tried telling these people they're not bad.
No, they're not. Niners Seahawks, interesting game. The Niners do have trouble with the Seahawks very often.
Mm-hmm.
Hufanga just tore his ACL, so they're missing their safety. I could see DK's hurt, but I could see him going off. But also, Kenneth Walker is hurt and out. I think he's doubtful right now for the Seahawks. So they're
Geno's banged up. JSN's banged up. Whole team's banged up.
Who's the backup running back that everybody's been waiting to get a full workload?
Zach Charbonnet.
Yep, and you're going to see it. So I don't know if you're comfortable enough betting on him, the over or the under, but depending on how you feel about this young, talented running back that's been waiting to get a full chance to be the number one guy, whether injury or not, gets to take on one of the better defenses in the league, maybe bet on that under or over on his rushing yards. That I'm not going to say because I don't want anyone coming at me on Twitter again talking about how I lost some money. I didn't lose you money. Bet responsibly.
Always bet responsibly.
Anything else you want to add, buddy? Any wagers?
Nope.
He tells me to quit gambling all the time. So
yeah, I'm picky. I just hit a couple on DraftKings. I actually am going to go back in on DraftKings and build some. I'll do a couple showdown captain modes, like, you know, where you just pick one person that's 1.5 times points, and then you load up the rest. I'll do a couple of those built around Tua. I'll do some regular. Actually, I'll probably do some of the Thanksgiving slates and the primetime slates. Throw Jeff Wilson in there.
Florida. The Hard Rock Sports Bet is live, and you are allowed to do it.
You're the 100th person to tell me, and I still say, oh, okay, cool.
They're about to legalize it where you can go in person, which will be fire. Usually casinos that allow you to sports bet in person have a massive wall of TVs and projectors where you get to watch all of them at once and just sit at the bar, so that'd be dope.
That's what I'm about.
If not, and you use Prize Picks, we're not sponsored by Prize Picks. We should be, because I've lost thousands and won thousands. But use my code, my promotion code, P as in Peter, R dash C as in Cookie, Q E, P as in Peter again, 2, N as in Nathan, 4. Right? And I'll get $25 for free, and I will bet it.
Write
and
that.
Lose it.
Write that down and text it to me. We'll start putting them in the bios. That way, Cody Reed can get his money.
Oh, I love that. All right. And then, other than that, make sure you follow Sut on Twitter, at Chief Sut. Follow the podcast Twitter, at Day, the number one, Dolphins. And follow me on Twitter, at YFinsYY. We'll check back in with you after the Thanksgiving holidays, after this Black Friday game, and let you know how this Jets one went. And until then, fins up.
Beans for the win. Again, at the crib.
We drink the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins.